Fred, should I use that other mic? The does it affect the recording either way? Okay, so it doesn't matter. Okay. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. We just thank God for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter. Y'all feeling all right? Amen. Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. You're almost through one of the most crazy years of our lives. Amen? Amen. We're getting to the home stretch here. And guess what? God is still good. Amen. Still in control. Amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? Is God for you today? Amen. Let's look at Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to read a familiar story with the 11th through the 19th verses. When you have it, say amen. The 11th verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Luke says, "Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." I'm reading out of the NIV version. "As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Why is that important? Because he was supposed to be the other people, the foreigner. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." We've read in your hearing the 11th through the 17th verses of the book of St. Luke. Amen. The parable or the story of the 10 that had leprosy. Now listen, leprosy in those days was a really, there was no cure for it. It was really like, I guess the only thing compare it to would be maybe AIDS or something like that. But if you had leprosy in those days, not only did you have a disease that had no cure, but you were forced to separate yourself from the crowds. Amen? People back then weren't quite as subtle as we are now. Amen? We think things, but we don't say them when it comes to those situations. Like you wouldn't, like if you were in a crowd or if you knew that somebody had AIDS, you know, you wouldn't well, I don't think you would, but, you know, you probably wouldn't just say, hey, stay away from him. He has AIDS. Everybody stay away. You know, nowadays we wouldn't, most likely we wouldn't do something like that. But in these days, that's how it was. So imagine the, not only the physical, okay, not only the physical part of the, have having this disease, but the mental. Amen? You know what it's like to be an outcast? Do you know what it's like to be looked upon as, stay away from him, stay away from her? Amen? So it wasn't just a physical thing that they were going through, but it was a mental thing as well. You might want to say their situation was hopeless. Amen? There's no cure. Nothing they could do. Nothing they couldn't pay to fix it. They couldn't work to fix it. Sound familiar? Nothing they could do of their own could change their situation. They were hopeless. But through Jesus Christ, through meeting and having that experience with Jesus Christ, they went from hopeless to grateful. Amen? Hopeless to grateful. And as we come upon this Thanksgiving season, you'll hear a lot about gratitude. Amen. And, you know, just like I think recently I spoke about joy, and I spoke about how joy is different than happiness. Amen. Happiness is based on circumstances. You know, somebody gives you a lot of money, you're happy. Amen? You wake up and you feel pretty good today, you're happy. Amen? You go throughout the day and it wasn't so bad, you didn't get in no arguments with nobody, you're happy. But if the reverse happens, then you're not. But joy is different than happiness. Joy is something down on the inside of you that circumstances can't touch. People can't affect. Amen. It's something Jesus gave you down on the inside that they call it unspeakable, because you really don't have the words to explain the joy that you have in Jesus. So when you think about gratitude, gratitude, I would say, is different than thankfulness. Amen? Because again, you know, we've all been brought up with manners and taught some things. If I give you something, chances are you'll say, thank you. Amen? If I give you something really big, you might be really thankful. Amen? Your thankfulness may, you know, the amount of thankfulness you give me, you know, a lot of times, you know, like, it's like kids at Christmas, you give them something little, oh, thanks, you know, you give them something big, oh my God, you know, it's the best thing ever. So if I do you a favor, you might say thankful. If I buy you a new car, you might really be thankful. Amen? So again, to me, thankfulness a lot of times is like happiness. It's based on circumstances. But gratitude is something different. Gratitude is down on the inside. Gratitude is realizing, like those 10 lepers, that there was nothing you could do to change that situation. You couldn't pay for it to change. You couldn't work for it to change. There's nothing you could do to change the fact that you have leprosy. Nothing. Jesus was the only way their circumstance changed. And you might say to yourself, I don't have leprosy, but you don't understand that we were born into sin, and the wages of sin is what? So we were born that way. There was nothing we couldn't pay to get rid of our sin. We couldn't, as we're taught here, we can't work, so we can't do so much to, you know, to pay off our sin. Amen. We can't be so good that you just forget about our sin. The only way we were able and are able to deal with the sin in our lives is because Jesus paid the price through his blood for us. And that should not only be a thank you, Jesus, but should also be a gratitude way down on the inside that no matter what happens today, no matter how good or bad of a day I have, no matter how much money I have in my bank account, no matter how we're going through a pandemic, no matter how much things are going on in life, nothing can touch the gratitude that I have for what Jesus has done for me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's why, you know, when you hear it said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, you know, I got a whole lot of other things on my mind. I got a whole lot of other things that I'm trying to deal with right now. But when I stop and think of the goodness of Jesus, not just my mouth, but my very soul cries out, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen? That's gratitude. Gratitude. And we need to, or we should allow ourselves to live with an attitude of gratitude. Amen? In other words, I can be thankful whether you give me something or not. I can be thankful whether you do something for me or not. I can be thankful no matter what my circumstances. Why? Because Jesus is on the inside. Amen? Gratitude is a virtue. One of the most significant changes that Jesus Christ wants to make in our hearts and our lives is to transform us into people who are continually grateful. In other words, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It should not only be a verse, should not only be a saying that we say in church, but it should be what we live. Amen? You know, you come in here and say that in here, and everyone's going to say amen because it's a popular, you know what I mean? This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Everybody's going to say yes, amen. But are we living it? Are we living it? Because when you walked in here, it didn't look like this was the day that the Lord has made. I don't know, I'm just reading, that's how we look at, you know, me too. You know, you don't look like you're rejoiceful right now. Amen? So we have to take inventory, and that has to be our lifestyle. Attitude of gratitude, not just during Thanksgiving, but every single day of our lives. Because think about it. He healed you from something you couldn't heal yourself of, for something the doctors couldn't heal you of, for something your money couldn't take away, for something he took sin, woo, away from you, gave you grace instead. So we ought to be not just thankful, but grateful for what God has done for us. Psalm 30:11-12 says, you've turned my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. That's the kind of gratitude I'm talking about. Amen. You hear different people say different things, but David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. Now that's realizing how much God has done for you. Amen? You'll hear some people say, I got to praise and I got to get it out. Amen? Who was it? I don't know. Who was it that said, it's like fire shut up in my bones? You ever burn yourself before? You know how much it hurts when you burn yourself? Like maybe burn your finger or burn. Imagine fire shooting up through your bones. That's what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Now, I don't know. You know, I as a guy in my mid-50s, I wonder sometimes if people have always complained as much as they do now. Amen? Because I don't know. You know, I mean, I can only know what I've experienced through my life. In Brother Al, I'm not picking on you right now because I love you, but you're a little older than me. Did they used to complain as much back in your day, you know, back in the, when you were younger as they do now? They did? Okay. So I guess people always been complaining. So I guess it's nothing new. Amen? But I would venture to say that the more things you have in your life, the more you have to complain about. Doesn't it seem like that? It seems like people that don't have much don't complain as much because they're thankful for what they do have, because they don't have much. Amen? But the people that have plenty are always complaining they never have enough. Imagine that, right? Always want more. You can't fit no more clothes in your closet. You can't fit no more food in your cupboards. You can't do this. You know, your bills are being paid, but yet you're going to the store to get the lotto because you always want more than what you have. It's never enough. And we live a life of ungratefulness while we have so much. I'm not talking about us. I'm just saying that's what I've heard. Amen? We have so much. As a matter of fact, our parents and our parents' parents would look at us and say, you got some nerve complaining as much as you do. Do you know what I had when I was your age? You got some nerve. You have way more than I could imagine. My grandfather, he came from Italy to here, didn't know how to read or write, got a job at Niagara Mohawk, had to walk back and forth to work every single day. Because he couldn't read or write, they put him in the, you know, they gave him the grunt jobs, the jobs that they, you know, and he didn't complain about nothing. Because he didn't have nothing. Amen. So, but to him, he had everything he needed. Now us, we have so much today. But yet, we find ourselves focusing more on our problems than we do our blessings. Amen. I'm going to skip a little bit and go to we all have a problem that only Jesus can fix. even though none of us have leprosy, that's a good description of us. You see, leprosy in the Bible always represents sin. Just as leprosy was incurable, it was fatal, and it caused isolation. That's what sin does to us. Sin is fatal, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. We are all born with a deadly disease the Bible calls terminal sin. It causes us to be spiritual outcasts. It's part of our genetic code. We were born into sin. The Bible says, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and turned their backs on him from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. There is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Isaiah 1:4-6. Those words were written 2,700 some odd years ago, but God could say exactly that same thing about our culture today. Amen? You may feel healthy today, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, there is a terrible, invisible, insidious cancer growing inside of your soul that no MRIs, CAT scan, or anything else can diagnose. But God's word says it is there. And only Jesus can fix it. He's the only one that can cure you. The second thing is, feeling thankful doesn't equal giving thanks. When we look at the story, do you think the 9 who didn't come back to Jesus felt thankful? You'd have to believe they did, right? I mean, just imagine if you had leprosy, an incurable situation, outcast, and you were healed of that, I gotta believe that you would be thankful. Right? No doubt about it. They were thankful. But they didn't give thanks like this other one did. And I think Jesus was both amazed and appalled at the same time. Because he, in turn, asked the question. He said, wait a minute. Were there not 10? Jesus said that. And then he said, where are the other 9? There was an expectation by Jesus that these guys wouldn't just feel thankful, but they would express gratitude by giving thanks. Because gratitude isn't just a feeling you feel when something is done for you. It's a response you give to communicate how you feel. And it should be done with the same level of intensity that you feel. Amen? That's why, you know, I know we all have different personalities and we all have different ways of doing things. And I know you guys say that I'm loud sometimes when I get up here, but when I, you know, it's like, when, you know, like nobody should have to come into church and tell you to praise God. We do it every Sunday, but we shouldn't have to, right? The praise team's up here trying to sing you happy. Fred's playing that guitar trying to play you happy, right? We're all pray, but nobody should have to convince you to give God praise. Right? Because you will tell me that there's no way you could know like I know what God has done for me. Amen? I can think of some things that God has done for Sister Paulette, but only Paulette knows what God has really done for her. I can't even explain that. I don't even know the depths of what God has done for you. For God, Brian, God has done so much for you that you couldn't even, I mean, you couldn't praise him enough. I can't tell it like you tell it because you know the story. You can't tell it like I tell it because I know the story. So for me to come in here and you have to push me, come on, just tell him thank you. Just lift your hand. If he can't say a word, just wave it. Just do something. Huh? Because listen, if you do it while you're on your job, they might think you're crazy. If you do it while you're in the supermarket, they might think you're crazy. If you're driving, you can't really take your hands off the wheel. But in here, you could do whatever you want to do. And I know it's not about how loud you cry. It's not about that. But when you express yourself, I mean, it should just... Whether you say something loud or tears come from your eyes or you lift, you know, you should just, you know, I mean, when you think of the goodness of Jesus, it's not just a saying. It's not just something we say to get an amen. It's not just a church, you know, a church language. It's a fact. Amen. For every one of us, none of us are exempt. Jesus has done different things for each one of us, but one thing he's done for all of us was give his life. Amen. To fix a situation that you couldn't fix. He gave you grace when you were due death. If that's not something to be eternally grateful for, then I don't know what is. Amen? Glory to God. Just like, you know, and again, it's not based on how you feel. I think that's what really gets us so much because we come in here based on our feelings. If I woke up with pain in my body today, I'm not feeling too good. You're probably going to realize it because it's going to show on my face. It's going to show in my attitude. It's going to show in my conversation. Amen? If I didn't get a good night's sleep because I have some situations in my life that's really stressing me out and I'm really challenged by this situation, you probably won't even have to talk to me too long. You can see it on my face. You can see it in my actions. You can see, oh, Brother Nick's not doing too good today. Don't even have to talk to me, right? Because I think that's what we do. We everything's based on how we feel or what we think, when it always has to come back to what we know. It always has to go back there. Amen? That's the only way to stay consistent with our gratitude. Because we could all think about and talk about things that are challenging in our lives, and we often do. Amen? For some reason, we love to talk more about our problems than we do our blessings. We almost feel ashamed to talk about our blessings. If I talk to you too much about my blessings, you might think I'm a little stuck up or a little full of myself or a little, you know what I mean? It's like but I have no problem telling you all my problems. Amen? Because you know what you're going to feel then? Okay, he's just like me. And you'll accept me right in. You'll bring me right in. Yep, I got problems too. Next thing you know, it'll be, you know, we can, you know, I'll wait for you to talk, and then I got three more problems I'm going to tell you about when you stop talking. And then I talk, and then you sing, okay, yep, I got, and before you know it, we just had a pity party. Amen? Woe is us. When when somebody just had a heart attack, when somebody just committed suicide, when somebody just, you know, there's all different, and we got, but yet, well, that's not, that's them. That's not, it's, this is all about me. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. You know, if we find ourselves, if we catch ourselves and we find ourselves complaining too much or getting ourselves, you know, we can talk ourselves and think ourselves into depression. The enemy, I think there's times when the enemy's sitting back, that wasn't me. You can't blame me for that one. You did that all by yourself. Trust me, I come to you sometimes and I bring you some stuff, but that I had nothing to do with that. You thought yourself into that situation. You talked yourself into that situation. Amen? We can do that, and we often do. Help us, Lord. But when we find ourselves, when we catch ourselves and say, what am I doing? You know what we need to do? We need to say to ourselves, it's not about me. Because when you're doing stuff like that, when you're talking yourself into depression, when you're thinking yourself into depression, you know what? You're being prideful at that point. And you say, prideful? The last thing I feel is prideful. Yes, you're being prideful at that point because you're making it all about you. You might as well put a bright white spotlight right on you because you are the center of attention. You are the show. It's all about you. And guess what? It's supposed to be all about him. Amen? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Not you. Not if you be lifted up. If I be lifted up. If we magnify him instead of magnifying our problems and our situations, then we will see change. We all got problems. We all got circumstances. We all got things to worry about. We all have that. But how much do we focus on the blessings that we have? Because in the midst of all the problems that all of us have, there are so many things to be thankful for. To have an attitude of gratitude, not just based on circumstances, not just based on, you know, how things went that day, but based on the fact that Jesus Christ himself loves to give you mercy, to give you grace. He doesn't just do it because he has to. He loves it. He's looking for ways to give it to you. Always working on your behalf. In spite of us. Amen. Let me read this. I got this little devotional thing that I read every day. And today's, for November 22nd, says this. Thank me for the glorious gift of grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Through my finished work on the cross and your belief in me as your Savior, you have received, come on, say that with me, I have received the greatest gift of all, eternal life. You couldn't get a better gift. You have received the greatest gift of all, eternal life, even the faith needed to receive salvation is a gift. The best response to such amazing generosity is a grateful heart. You can never thank me too much or too frequently for grace. During this Thanksgiving season, ponder what it means to have all your sins forgiven. It means you are no longer on a pathway to hell. Your destination is a new heaven and a new earth. It also means that every day of your life is valuable. As you go through this day, thank me often for the amazing gift of grace. Let this gratitude for grace fill you with joy and increase your thankfulness for the many other blessings I provide. Amen. And no, Fred did not write that. Amen. He's just an innocent bystander. But that's what gratefulness is all about. I think we need to remind ourselves when we're complaining, remind ourselves when things aren't going so well for us, that we have received the greatest gift of all through Jesus Christ our Lord, the eternal life. Amen. And not only that, but every single day that God wakes us up in the morning, not only does he load us with benefits, not only does he give us brand new mercies, but he's continually given us grace for our sorrow, grace for our sin, grace for all the situations in our lives. Amen? So let's not just be thankful in this Thanksgiving season, but let's work on wrapping our minds around the fact that we have so much to be thankful for. Our blessings outweigh our problems. Our God is bigger than any problem we have. That he continually, day in and day out, gives us grace for our situation. And let us not put the spotlight on ourselves, but let us do like the Bible says and look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Amen. You have problems in your life. You have situations you're dealing with. Look to the Lord from which cometh your help. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. He can turn hopeless into grateful. Amen? There's nothing too hard for him. And let us just remind ourselves that when he does it, when he takes us out of the situation, when he shows himself yet again, because he will, in your situation, don't be like the other nine that just said thank you and went about their way. Say to yourself, let me be the one. Let me be the one that not only says thank you, but comes back and is grateful and shows and gives thanks. Not just only says thank you, but gives thanks because I'm so grateful. I'm so appreciative, God, for what you have done for me. Let me be the one. Not like the other nine who just said thank you and ran off. You know, and I'm about to close, but I think God, you know, like I try to teach my sons. And I believe my sons are well-mannered kids. But one thing they just don't get yet is, see, my sister doesn't have kids. So my sister spoils my kids. I mean, birthdays, graduations, whatever. If there's a reason to celebrate, she's there for them, and she blesses them greatly. and my mother, those are the only grandkids that she has. So she doesn't have, she can't do what my sister does because she's on a fixed income, she's retired and everything, but she does what she can do too. And what I try to get across to my boys is, you know, I know you say thank you when they give you stuff, but show them that you're appreciative, because in this life, nobody has to do anything for you. Nobody has to do anything for you. You know, I think sometimes they think they have to do it. No. You know, it's like my sister was late with a graduation. Well, where's Aunt Brenda? She hasn't given me enough. You do realize she doesn't have to give you anything. But what I try to get across to them is let them know that you're appreciative. And how do you do that? Not only do you say thank you when it happens, but, you know, when nothing's going on, give them a call. Say, hey, I just want to say hello. I just want to check in on you. That means the world to them. And I even tell them sometimes, look, I got this down to a T. Because when I was little, they spoiled me, and I caught on to it. So I knew what to say. I knew how to butter them up to, you know what I mean? I played the game, okay? And I'm like, you know, I want you to do more than play the game, but at least play the game. I'm trying to help you here, okay? You think you're getting blessed now. If you played the game, you would get blessed even more. If you would call them when they're not expecting you to call them, if you would check on them when they're not expecting you, if you would show them, hey, I'm appreciative for all the things you do for me. They love doing for you, but they wanna know. Because you know what happens now? My sister will do something for them, my mother will do something for them, and they won't say it to them, but they'll say it to me. You know, I haven't even heard from so-and-so yet. They haven't even called me yet. And that's all they want to know. They want to hear from them. You know what I mean? How simple is that? It takes 5 minutes. Call them or text them even. You know, not my mother. She's still kind of, you know, that's hard for her still. But, you know what I mean? Just, it's easy. And, you know, I know God doesn't need a thing from us. But in my heart of hearts, I just believe that he wants to know that we're grateful. Amen. He's going to do because that's what he does. He's going to give because that's what he does. He's going to do all the things that he does because he's God and God alone. But I just got to believe in my heart of hearts that he wants to know that you're appreciative, that you're grateful for what he does for you and for me. Amen? I just believe it. I just believe that he wants us to praise him sometimes when he hasn't done anything for us. Praise him when there's nothing going on. I just feel like praising you, Lord. I just feel like telling you thank you. I just want to express to you how much I love you and how much I'm appreciative for what you do in my life. Not just because you just did something for me. If you didn't do nothing else for me, I couldn't thank you enough. You've done so much. Amen? That's gratitude. Amen? That's gratitude. When you can express your thankfulness and nothing happened, that's gratitude. Like I said, if I give you something, you're going to be thankful. But what if I don't give you something? Can you still be thankful? Amen? That's what I'm talking about. That's gratitude. And I'm telling you right now, if we would adapt an attitude of gratitude, not just being thankful when things happen, and you know, but just adapt that. Lord, help me to be grateful today just because of who you are. Just because of who you are, Lord. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the great I am. You're the Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the bright and morning star. Lord, I just want to be grateful for who you are. Not just when you do something for me. Not just when you work something out for me, but every day I want to be grateful for who you are. And I don't want to just think it. I want to express it. Thank you, Lord. You can almost hear God saying, thank you for what? Just because. Just because you've been good to me. Just because you've been good to me. Because, you know, when I think back over my life, Lord, I got so much to be thankful for. Yeah, I could spend my time right now thinking about my problems. I could spend my time thinking about the challenges I have in front of me right now. But I choose to think about the goodness of Jesus. I choose to look back over my life and see where he's brought me from. I choose. You know, sometimes you need to choose. Amen? Like Brother Fred was saying a little while back, blessings and cursings, life and death, they had to choose. Sometimes you got to choose life. Sometimes you got to choose blessings. You got to choose joy. You got to choose peace. You got to choose thankfulness. Because otherwise you can be miserable. You can complain. You can choose to do that too. Sometimes you got to make a choice. Every day you have a choice. Which way are you going to go? Help me, Lord, to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I have to choose. Because my flesh wants me to choose this way. I have to choose to walk after the Spirit. I have to choose to be thankful and not complain. I have to choose to be grateful and not miserable. Amen? Let us bow our heads, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You've been so good to us. You gave us a gift that is better than anything we could ever have in our lives. The gift of eternal life. You chose to forgive us of our sins when we stood guilty. You chose to give us life and not death. You chose to transform us, to change us, to renew our minds. You chose to give us grace, to give us love, to give us mercy. And Lord, because of that, we choose to not only thank you from the bottom of our hearts, but we choose to have an attitude of gratitude. We choose, Lord, not to allow circumstances to dictate our gratitude. We choose, Lord, to focus on our blessings and not our problems. We choose, Lord, to give it all to you instead of trying to do it ourselves. We choose today to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from you. Lord, today we choose to lift you up. We choose to lift you up, Lord. We're not lifting up our problems. We're not lifting up our circumstances. We're not lifting up any of that nonsense, Lord. We are lifting up the great and high and holy and mighty God, the lover of our souls. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. You loved us so much, so much, that in our ugly state, you gave your only begotten Son to die for our sins, that we might have life in grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name. Glory to God. Bless your name, Jesus. You alone are worthy of all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Help us, Lord, one day at a time, to have an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Take us from this place, but not your presence. Bring us back at the appointed time. Bless our homes. Bless us this week as we gather together with family, if we choose to do so. Help us to be safe. Help us to make good choices. Help us to choose safety, Lord. Help us to be wise in what we do, Lord. Lord, but bless us that even in the midst of this time that we're in, that we can be thankful and we can be grateful, not just because it's Thanksgiving, but because you're a great God. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. I love you all, and there ain't nothing you could do about it. Amen.